Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marvelously Married.
Welcome.
This is Haley.
This is Hoagie.
Second time podcaster here, longtime friend.
Forever friend.
Yeah, forever.
Now, you're always going to know what episode we're on because she'll let you
that's
know.
That's my life hack. That's how I'll remember. So that's therefore how you guys will remember too.
My voice. Okay, so warning to everybody. I'm going to let you know. I've been really sick since last episode. I got like a cold and then that turned into like some kind of infection. And anyway, I'm recovering now and things are going okay, but my voice is like not recovered. So I do have like a cough drop right now and I'm going to try to do my best to have like good audio quality. But if it's bothering you, just skip this episode. That's fine. Like I just wanted to do something fun. We just wanted to record.
Yeah. And we have so much to talk about. I feel like this was really the episode that the reason why we started last episode when we did was the lead up to a lot of these show finales that we wanted to talk about too. So
yeah,
we had to fit it in, and somehow I've managed to completely pretty much avoid getting sick. So that's really great. Really thankful for that.
Kind of weird. Like I've been super sick and you did not get sick at all.
Yeah. Just my sleep is affected.
So, wanted to let everyone know about like a feature of our podcast, I guess. So check the bio. If you're on Spotify especially, you can just click the timestamps and it'll take you to that spot in the podcast. But I try to label every spot so that if you're not interested in a topic, you can skip ahead. So I don't know how big the overlap is of reality TV fans and Marvel fans.
Very niche.
We're trying to build that audience like by the dozens. So, you know, hopefully we're successful in our mission.
At least by the fives.
Yeah, by the handfuls. So, but yeah, if you don't want to hear reality TV, you want to skip ahead to Marvel, look in the show notes and you should be able to find what time you should start. We will have spoilers in this episode for Love is Blind Season 6, Traitors US Season 2. I guess the Oscars, we're going to spoil the Oscars.
Spoiler.
there'll be some rumors for Marvel and the X-Men 2000 if you haven't seen that yet.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
2000.
24 years
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's old.
And while you are checking out your podcast app, if you could, please subscribe. That would be super cool.
Yes.
We love seeing that. And a lot of you did last week. And that was, I mean, we only got one episode and people are subscribing. That's really cool. Leaving ratings is something like if you're a super, super fan, super duper fan, you could do, especially if it's 5-star.
Yeah.
That helps us get like featured more in search results.
Yeah, and especially because we, you know, our podcast content, like Hoagie's cool. saying, is very, you know, niche. So we want to spread the reality TV and Marvel love.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you can leave ratings, you know, even if you don't want to leave a wordy paragraph, you could just do the stars or whatever. But
although a wordy paragraph is preferred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a feature.
Nice words, though. Nice words. Please. I'll cry.
There's a feature on Spotify. I don't know if we'll use it a lot. But on Spotify, there's like a leave a comment or there's a I can put a featured question for each episode and then you can answer that question. And then I can choose if I like your answer to feature it. So like last week, Sarah,
shout out Sarah.
Sarah, shout out to Sarah. The question was just like, what do you like about this episode? And she said she was pro spoiler. So that was featured in our episode from last week. So, yeah, if you want to interact that way.
That's fun. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and if you want to get updates about the show, Instagram.
Yeah.
At Marvelously Married.
And you can also email us at marvelouslymarried@gmail.com.
We did get our first D20 question submission through email.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
So Becca is that the question we're answering? No, because I roll the dice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we might not necessarily answer it this week, but if we roll another 15, we would.
Well, now I know it's number 15.
Well, I know, but But that's cool. Then you can, like, Becca at home can be like, oh, I hope they roll 15. Like, it's fun. It's
well,
like the
I'm
casino.
Well, I'm not supposed to know, though.
Why not?
Because this is our first podcast fight. Because I'm supposed to be surprised about the question.
Oh, because did you read? You don't
no.
even have access to the email.
No, or the questions. You did tell me Becca's question, though.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So, spoiler alert.
Oops. So
that's on you, I guess.
So let's get into our little icebreaker. Break the ice, first date.
Break the ice.
So what are you having for a little drinky?
Less than crispy McDonald's Diet Coke.
Okay. One of our faves.
Yeah. Well, my fave is when it's extra crispy, but this has been watered down since after work.
So. Yeah, usually you take like forever to drink Diet Coke. Yeah. So yours usually get to that state.
I savor it.
Mine, I do too, but I savor it quickly.
That's on brand.
I'm having the Meyer brand chemical drink additive, grape flavor.
Groovy
grape in a mason jar.
Yeah.
So
also on brand for Hoagie.
Mm.
I think guys will see Hoagie's repertoire of drinks will not vary too often.
There's not much variety. I almost had hot tea today, actually.
Well, that
for the voice thing. Yeah. I tried it earlier today. I had some like green tea with honey, and I didn't really see that much of an effect. I thought the cough drops did better. So
maybe after the podcast, you'll need some hot tea
to soothe. Yeah, I do got to make a lot of phone calls when I finally get back to the office, so perhaps that will be a good idea.
Yeah, because you've been working from home.
Okay, and now if Haley, you want to roll that dice, we can get into our D20.
Oh, shoot, did I lose it? Okay, I got the dice after a big to-do.
We had to like pause it. I thought it was funny at first, and then I was like, this is just going to go forever.
I definitely thought Bernard ate the dice, but he did not. So praise the Lord about that. Okay, here we go. I literally was going to fake the dice roll, and Hoagie said, it can't happen. So you heard it. 7, lucky number 7.
Talk in the microphone.
Sorry. Lucky number 7.
Okay. What is the most adventurous thing you have ever done?
I don't know. I'm not very adventurous.
You aren't. You really aren't.
No, I'm not.
I think for me.
Oh, I think I know what yours is.
Oh, go ahead.
When we hiked the Big M.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't adventurous. That was dumb.
I think adventurous rhymes with dangerous. And so, you know, there's that can be one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Okay.
Well, tell them what you did.
So we hiked the Big M, which is like in Manistee.
Yeah, right? Which I hiked as well. So I guess that's my most adventurous thing.
That was pretty adventurous.
It's the tallest something in Michigan or something. I don't remember.
We got up to the top, and there's this rope with like a plank of wood on the bottom. And for whatever reason, I think that day I was wearing just like slip-on cowboy boots. Which is not good for hiking. Like,
if you could see my face right now,
they have flat. These ones were like work boots. So they actually had like a rubber sole. They were comfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had like an actual backpack with like water and stuff and like a little backpack. But
yeah.
So we get up to the top, and everyone's like, "Oh, I wonder if that swing is safe." Which is what, you know, most people question.
It was when you like sit on and the rope goes between your legs and like the plank goes under your butt. And so you could like on the ground, sit on the rope and then you could swing out over the thing.
Yeah. Well, when at rest, like where the rope was hanging was over the edge of the like over the cliff already or over the edge of the hill already. And so the drop was like in the hundreds of feet.
I have no idea. Don't look at me. I don't know how big that is.
Okay, so it was like...
Well, I don't need to know. It's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I was there.
Yeah. So...
But it was very high.
Everyone's just talking about it, and I'm just like, here we go. I don't know if I said...
No, you didn't even say anything. We were standing there, and all of a sudden, he took a few steps back and just started running, and he jumped on it with his feet.
Like, feet first. I, like, locked into that plank and just swung over it. Yeah. I just figured like it wouldn't be there, like, you know, and I was the heaviest one in the group.
Makes also a lot more sense. Too.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure it was safe for everybody else so they could have fun. I don't think anybody else used it.
Nope. Bernard, what do you have? Oh, you brought me a note that says Becca.
I think like I've had some fun adventures, like winter camping is fun.
Oh, yeah. You've done like really cold temps.
Pretty close to... well, I don't know, not quite close to death. I'm not going to exaggerate. I had like stage 2 hypothermia, you know, and yeah. when you stop shivering, and that like freaked me out. I was a Boy Scout. I know things like that. That was at night when I had a sleeping bag with the zipper was broken, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I decided I was just going to go quick, and I wasn't going to put a coat on. And it was like, I think 17 degrees.
I was not here for this. I seven had degrees. To take I no know. Part in this.
No. And that was fun.
So that was fun.
Yeah, that was the best adventure. Oh,
the Go Ruck.
Hike the Go Ruck. Well, yeah. That was traumatic was adventure. Brutal. Yeah, that was the toughest thing
you like
I've ever
to do
done.
Things like that. Well, you used to like to do things
Go Ruck.
Like
if
that.
There's any if there's any Go Ruck people out there, let me know. Yeah. If you've done it, that'd be crazy. Like if you've done a Go Ruck and you're listening to this podcast. Did a tough challenge in Detroit. It was Cadre Jesse's last challenge, and he made it extra tough, and nobody quit, and that was pretty cool. That was like a little self-discovery sort
Most
of thing.
Most adventurous thing I've done is tubing behind the boat.
Yeah.
On Birch Lake.
Oh, that was so. That's
I
so
stood
good.
Up.
You did. Oh my gosh!
And I've
wow.
jumped off the back of the boat.
That is
while
adventure.
It's been moving.
Yeah.
I mean, Mandy, my sister, shout out to Mandy. She can attest. She's got the video footage of me standing on that.
And jumping off. I got some video of you jumping
tube.
Off the boat. Yeah.
So.
Do we have time for another adventure? Or am I just bragging at this point? I'm enjoying telling stories. I love
telling
stories. Yeah,
it's our podcast.
So we were in Uganda, and not you, because you don't do any adventures.
I jumped off about once.
We hike this like hill. And I was at this point in my life very out of shape, and we're like, there's these little kids like showing us where to go and everything. I'm like the last one up the hill, and I'm dying. And we're like hiking around, doing all this stuff, and then we find out like this person starts yelling at us. Well, not yelling at us, but talking to the kids, and I don't know what they're saying, of course. But we were on their land, and we weren't supposed to be.
Uh-oh.
And we had to leave, and ended up not being a big deal, but. I was kind of like for
freaking
a,
out.
There was a second where I like when, cause they were translating like little bits and pieces, like at a little bit at
You're
a
like,
time.
You're like, should I just start running?
And like when they first started talking, they were like, this happens all the time. You guys are always coming up here. And what they meant was by you guys was white people. And it was just like, I was like, I don't want to be turned into the police and go to like a Uganda jail. Like, yeah. But anyway, those are my adventures that I thought of. Sorry.
I went to Canada when I was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to the bar. Woo!
Adventure.
Dancing.
Didn't even really probably dance. Just kidding.
Okay, so reality TV.
Yeah. We've got some Love is Blind chat to do. Lots of Love is Blind chat.
We do.
Quite a few episodes, including the finale. The reunion comes out this Wednesday.
Well, that's tomorrow, because I'm going to try and get this podcast edited and posted tonight.
Wow.
I'm working on it. Yeah. And so,
working around the clock over here, people.
Yeah, for my hobbies. I'm down for this. What's that song? Like, I'm down for my city. Like, I'm down for my hobbies.
I don't know.
That's sorry.
No, that's okay.
I apologize to everybody out there who enjoys music.
Hopefully we don't get
flags for copyright infringement. Yeah.
That was a great reenactment of that song, so I'm sure we will.
So let's see. I think where we left off, the first thing would be Drunk Chelsea when Jimmy comes back.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I don't want to be with a person like that.
Well, and like permanent grumpy cat face.
Yeah.
That's just her whole thing, bless her heart.
Jimmy should have, like, you know, we already said spoilers, but, like, I'm so glad they didn't get married. But it looks like, you know, are we going to talk about what's on TikTok and, like, what's going on?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever we want.
Whatever
but
we
I'm going to back it up a little bit and just give some people some, let them know what was going on. So Jimmy and Chelsea met his family, and he thought it went great.
Oh, yeah.
And then they came back, and then that's when we realized she had been drinking.
Well, he went out for a birthday party. Had like one drink with his buddy. He was gone for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like the bare minimum for your friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like literally go sing happy birthday, cheers, and came back home. And she was like, you said in the pods that you didn't ever go out. And I just don't know if I can be married to somebody like that.
Yo, one time. Okay, I'm not.
No, it's fine. Okay. I mean, we don't even tell the. There's not a whole lot of story to tell, but
you need to keep talking into the microphone.
Oh, sorry,
This is a podcast.
I mean, I've definitely been out late with my friend Jenny, but we just get to chatting. I'm not out.
Yeah, no, you're not crazy or nothing. But there was one time where you guys were out, and at like 5 a.m., your designated driver had lost their keys, yeah. And I had to come get out of bed, which I don't like doing. Oh my gosh. But I mean Chelsea was like, I don't want to be with that type of person. I was mad.
Well, you were mad because you had to get out of bed.
Yeah, I was mostly mad at the DD who lost the keys. I wasn't mad at you. But Chelsea was like, I don't want to be with that type of person who goes out like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, out like that. It was still daylight when they were having this conversation. She was drunk.
Yeah,
like it was a bad look.
Yeah, and not cute. Bless her heart.
Well, update on Chelsea, if you guys don't know, she's on TikTok. She's in therapy now.
Yeah, she's doing better. She's admitted that there were some, that she had some issues and some things she needed to work through. Sorry if you guys just heard a big bump in the sound. The dogs be dogging down here.
But unfortunately, it looks like her and Jimmy are talking again. They were out at dinner the other night. They both posted on their stories like the same
dinner
table. Which
makes me so curious about their contracts, because that's something that like would not have flown. I feel like that's the first time anything like that has happened, like where you've seen a visible update before the reunion.
Oh.
Like that. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about like, what are their contracts like? Because the fact that they're even being seen together is like...
One crazy thing I found out about their contract is if they don't go to the altar, like if they leave the pods as a couple, engaged, but they do not go to the altar, they got to pay the show $50,000.
Yeah. That's just what? Like...
They don't even feed these people.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't mean that they don't literally feed them, but...
Well, I've heard that the conditions are brutal on this show.
No, I've heard that too. And that's just a built-in thing, like a safety net that they are like... I think that anybody could probably get out of it if they worked hard enough, but it's like to scare them into staying, I'm sure.
Yeah. So Jeremy applied. Okay, so Jeremy, the cheater, applied while engaged. Applied to the show while engaged. The people like asking for receipts, and they're like, that's literally like my ex future son-in-law or whatever. Yeah. You know? And his like ex-girlfriend or ex-wife also caught him cheating because of location sharing too.
Yeah, so he seems to have a history of not knowing how to
whatever.
I don't know, being a terrible person. That's what his history is.
You know, but hey, speaking of Jeremy, okay, so AD really drilled Sarah Ann.
Yeah, which so I don't know if the listeners know, but Jeremy met up with a previous fling that he had in the pods once they got out of the pods. And so AD was like at this lake party, was like really coming at Sarah Ann about like, you know, if you could just admit that what you did was wrong, because she reached out to Jeremy initially, blah, blah, blah. I think Hoagie and I have very different opinions on this.
So first of all, at the end of the whole lake party, the two of them go out on Sea-Doos.
Yeah.
And like hilarious. Had a date in front of Laura. And I was like, that was savage. And like, I was like, that kind of crosses the line.
Yeah.
And he says later that he regrets that, but like, whatever. I just think that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
I just think he's a jerk.
Doesn't think about anybody but himself, seems like.
So I don't really have an issue with Sarah Ann messaging him. I don't. And this is why. I think IRL, you know, somebody's engaged and, you know, and all that, and somebody messages you like that and tries to open the door, that's one thing. That's a no. But on this show where you guys just all met like a week ago and this engagement's like a week long and it's kind of an experiment and it's like reality TV and sort of like a game show and there's like money involved and there's, all, I mean, there's just... It's kind of a gray area.
Yeah,
I think
it's
okay. Her message was not really that forward.
Yeah, and they literally showed the message on the show. Like, and it wasn't, it was just like, it was just basically like, let me know if, you know, the door is ever open again or whatever. And I don't necessarily have a problem with the message she sent. I think that she said later that these are all the things she wished she could have said in the pods when he first broke it off with her. And I think that if the engagement didn't work out, that would have been her chance to be like, okay, like, I think she should have, she let that go and she should have just let it go. And then if it didn't work out, then they could reconnect and she could send a message like that. But it just seemed like, just let it run its course. It seemed like she maybe wanted more airtime a little bit too. Like, it seemed like very pick me behavior, like, in my opinion. But I don't necessarily have a problem with it being like the engagement thing. I think you are right about that. Like the timeline and stuff. I think that makes sense.
I think, like, for me, like, I don't know, a lot of these people, they're all on like different levels of how serious they're taking this and yeah. everything. You know, like for instance, we'll get into Clay.
Well, and I will say that a lot of the girls apply, we found out too, and the guys are sought after. Like, oh, maybe really? Through social media, like the majority of the guys are people that they've received messages. Like, have you ever considered going on a show like this from like scouting people at Love is Blind or whatever?
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So I think that that definitely makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And like you said, with Sarah Ann, your theory about her wanting airtime, like, I mean, I think that about all of them. Because they all come into this. They have like agents,
agendas, and stuff.
They're like trying to be reality influencers. Personalities. They're trying. Yeah. They're all trying to get on the traders.
Yeah, if we're being honest, that's really the end goal.
They're like, I got my eyes on season 7.
Oh my gosh, that'd be crazy if Love Is Blind people were on the traders.
Why?
That's just that would be like that would be funny.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So when Jimmy, going back to Chelsea and Jimmy, when they finally did break up, the line he started with for why they broke up was going back to the whole Johnny and Amy being the strongest couple thing.
Yeah. At the lake house.
I'm like, dude,
you're so
clueless. They are the strongest couple.
Yeah. Like they're the only ones that got married.
I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. Me too. Love them.
Yeah. Hopefully they figure
out
birth control.
Johnny, Amy, if you're listening, love you.
Love you.
Hope you figure out birth control if that's what you want to do. It's your situation.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff about the birth control thing, though, that was the only thing that they ever had like kind of differing opinions on, which we kind of discussed already. Like, it is what it is. But the things I've seen on the internet is like, people could tell that like Netflix was like probably like really wanting them to talk about that. Like, so they'd be like, talk about the birth control thing again.
Yeah,
so they'd
probably.
And now like thinking back of the show, it's like, yeah, it definitely felt like that. Like,
yeah, they like kept getting brought up. And I don't even know that they really had different opinions. They both just seemed really ignorant about it. Because at first they were like, well, you'll just get a vasectomy and then we'll have a reverse. And like immediately I was like, that's kind of risky. Like that doesn't always work out. And then eventually he was like, I did some research and that doesn't always work out. And like, I don't think she'd ever heard of an IUD or like alternatives. Like, I don't know. I know there's some other things out there, but anyway, I hope they figure that out.
Yeah.
And we won't get into that too much. So Clay and AD.
Yes.
That was a shocker for me.
Yes. They said.
He said no. After she said yes.
Yes. She said yes at the altar. So the only two couples that went into weddings, like Hoagie said, was Clay and AD and Johnny and Amy. Johnny and Amy got married. Love them. We'll talk more about that maybe here in a minute. But Clay and AD, she said yes. He said no.
Yeah.
Which she definitely seemed very shocked about.
Yeah.
I mean, I was shocked.
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
And he had a conversation with her earlier and kind of said, what if we just don't get married and we can just like keep being engaged? And she said no.
Yeah, she had said.
But then after this happened at the altar, he continued and he was like kissing on her and stuff. And I was like, dude, it's over for you.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you're going to have to tell me to stop. And I was like, bro, you told her no.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But the whole moral of the story there, I mean, like, for me, this guy, it's that whole, like, I don't know what you call it. Do you just call it a meme now? Like, do we just, let's call it like sayings or like,
yeah,
you know, like the old adage, like, yeah, we just call them memes now. But, you know, like, nice girls aren't therapists. Like, yeah, go get a real therapist, bro.
Right.
Like, he was like constantly, and he was constantly giving her credit to her and complimenting her on like, you've helped me work through all this stuff. Yeah. And I've grown so much with you and like all this stuff. And it was like, I just have so much further to go. And
well, and he was one of the ones that they were saying you could definitely tell was a recruit, that like he didn't apply to the show because he was looking to get married and like, oh, really, which now makes sense because I this whole time have been thinking, why did he come on this show if he's not, if he's like not sure he's ready to get married?
Yeah.
But now so it's kind of like, okay, I think that that actually makes sense. And like, I will say with Clay, honestly, I was surprised because I do think that they seemed very compatible and like they communicated pretty well, but he was always open about like, I just am not sure if I'm ready. Like, it's not, yeah, like that was something he hadn't said at all, dude, before the altar.
Dude, I know it's been an overused joke, but he really thought like cheating was hereditary.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, he was going to go get so a DNA test that to find out if he was going to cheat on her, and always bringing it up.
Yeah.
He eventually stopped, but it was just like, dude, like, yeah, he was like, well, my dad cheated.
Well, there was some there was a pretty intense conversation between his dad and mom,
yeah,
after the ceremony, which I thought was, it was hard to watch, but I think it needed to happen. I mean, and he just explained, he said the dad, he was like, you know, I didn't have any good role models, and I know I messed up and things, you know, it's just the decisions we make affect the people around us, right? And so unfortunately Clay has a lot of baggage that sounds like he needs to unpack with hopefully a therapist and not another
girl he's trying to date.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
you know, marry or whatever. Yeah, that's whole show. I don't know. I hate it, but I'm just gonna keep watching anyway. I hope they get new hosts.
I'm not
really looking forward to the reunion. Like, I think that Vanessa Lachey is so cringe. Maybe she'll get her stuff together. Maybe she'll like listen to the feedback she's,
yeah,
been given,
she's
by
been
viewers and stop asking about when Love is Blind babies. She's probably going to, yeah, be the first thing out of her mouth.
I don't think it will be. I think she, I hope that she learned. Because
there was somebody on a previous.
Oh, there's two people that are pregnant. Love is Blind.
Okay.
People, Bliss and Zach.
Oh.
And, Alex and what's his name? The cowboy guy.
Oh, okay.
The one, she was like Jewish and he was like a cowboy. They got
married.
Well,
congrats.
Yeah.
From your fans.
Yeah.
But
I will say, I know you're like, oh, I hate the show. And like, I get it. Like, it is, it's yucky sometimes. But I love Love. And like, Johnny and Amy really made the show for me. Like, and like, her brother being there, like, that was just such a special moment. Like, It was all really
that was
great.
The cheers with the brother. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There was some great moments.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I like that.
So on to a more wholesome show, The Traitors. So basically where we left off was really on episode 4. We were watching it kind of slow.
And then we.
Well, then I got sick. And then all we could do was watch.
Well, you.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you actually got to go do some fun stuff this week.
You mean go to the store every day?
Whatever, you went out with friends and stuff. So Kate came back this season.
Yeah.
Crazy.
From season 1. She's, yep, from Below Deck too. I loved her. We hated her in season one, but I loved her.
She was awful.
We liked her near the end. She started to come, yeah, around for us.
Because she finally... There was a midpoint, like half of the show or whatever. In the middle of the show, she was just like trying to sabotage everybody, and she was like, "I hate it here. You guys,
yeah,
are dumb."
Yeah, she was being rude.
She was very awful. So this season was different than last season because it was all celebs.
Yes.
No normies. Like the most normal person would be like Larsa Pippen.
Yeah.
Would be like the most normal person. Mm-hmm. Or.
So it was like a mix of like competition people from like Big Brother, Survivor,
yeah,
But then also, like the Bravo shows, yeah. like the Real Housewives and a lot of Real Housewives people. And a couple Love Island, not Love is Blind, Love Island,
yep.
Bergie, and Ekansu from the UK. But yeah, no normies.
So overall, like I thought that I don't really like that. Cause I think there should be some normies in there.
Oh, I feel the opposite. I liked how it was all, it seemed like more even playing field.
You really think so? Go ahead.
Yeah. Because it's like, that I don't know, it was like made it too personal when it was the celebrity reality people and just like regular everyday people, because then it was like you're on these reality shows all the time, you have lots of opportunities and potential to make this money again in some other capacity, and when it was just a normal person it was like, okay, well, sucks to suck, bye. It just seemed like, well, this is ruthless in my opinion. But
Well, what I liked about the variety and the normies and everything, what I didn't like is that you had basically what it turned into is you had your Bravo people and then you had like your CBS people.
Like the competition show people.
Your Big Brother, the Challenge, the Survivor people.
Oh, Challenge, yeah. They're on there.
And then you had your Bravo Housewives people, Below Deck, whatever. And it just got really clicky.
Yeah.
And then it turned into like an us versus them. Like the faithfuls did not work together a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And especially Peter really caused a lot of that because he had his like secret group and
alliance, which doesn't make any sense in the show Traitors to have alliance. The alliance should be faithfuls and traitors.
Yeah. Where was Peter from? What show?
The Bachelor.
What was wrong with him? Why was he trying to make... He would literally tell people to leave the room. Leave the room. We're talking. Yeah. Just a second.
I know.
He was awful.
I can't believe he lasted as long as he did. I mean, he ended up having... I think that he had a lot of smart gameplay.
Yes.
But I think that he didn't really execute himself or whatever perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he got voted out because he started acting... And he started just getting too much power in his head because of that.
Yeah.
And he started trying to make deal with people he knew were traitors, and then that turned people against him, of course.
Then thought he was a traitor.
You're done, dude.
Yeah.
So he went out eventually, but you know, eventually in the show they make Kate a traitor.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't have a choice, really.
Before they made Kate a traitor was when Dan got murdered.
Yep.
He was a traitor. And Dan is like a legendary Big Brother person. Very game oriented. It's very much like not personal at all. It's like, these are game decisions. Like, I'm just here to try and play the game. And those of us from Big Brother background, like, totally get that and respect that.
Yeah.
But the Housewives people, they just think it's mean.
Yeah.
They're just like, because he basically at the round table that he got banished at, his last ditch effort was to call Phaedra out.
Yeah.
Who, she was another traitor. So it definitely got people thinking that Phaedra was probably a traitor because Dan basically knew he was going home. So it was like, okay, well, Dan would know that Phaedra's a traitor if he's also a traitor. So
yeah, Trishelle caught on to that.
Yeah,
and
that definitely caused a lot of suspicion. And so Phaedra is pretty, I mean, obviously Phaedra didn't win or anything. And she's pretty at the reunion, was pretty upset still.
Yeah. Yeah. And for context, the reunion was 4+ months later, and Phaedra was still angry with Dan.
Yeah.
And MJ was still angry with CJ and Trishelle, who CT. Won the show. CT.
Yeah.
And I was just like, just get over it.
Yeah, it's
4 months
a game.
Later, you should wake up the next day and brush it off.
Right.
Like, I just grow up.
Right.
I can't believe that. They should let me on that show. Don't let MJ on that show. Put me on that show. But I think that Phaedra, one of her biggest mistakes was that crossbow game.
Uh-huh.
Where she switched targets because she was going after somebody.
The stained glass breaking. Yep. Trishelle, she switched and went up for Trishelle.
Yep, because she wanted she did not want Trishelle to have safety. It was looking like Trishelle would get the safety.
Yeah.
She changed targets when they had, like, the whole group had a clear plan of, this is what we're doing. This is our method.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just a lot of these people, a lot of these people did not think ahead very far.
Yeah.
Or these traitors. It was not very good.
Right.
sorry, going back to the Dan thing, though, throwing Phaedra under the bus. Mm-hmm. So I get involved in, I like Reddit a lot. I follow a lot of Reddit communities for a lot of different things. But apparently, in the traders UK, it is very common for traders to go and use each other as shields.
Oh.
So maybe Dan watched that show to prep ahead of time. And like that was kind of his strategy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. So in the end, so like we said.
The end was, that was a tough. The finales are so good.
The finale was very good. Yeah. There was a lot of the show that was like kind of painful to watch and boring and just, you know, you want to pull your hair out because everybody's making bad decisions. But the finale was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the reunion, you know, like we already said, like people were still salty and that was annoying.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought it was crazy how Trishel wrote CT's name. Trishel and CT are both from The Challenge and they've been like pretty close. They were pretty close the whole show. And for Trishel to turn on CT and try and not finish the game with him and split the money was pretty ruthless. But it was a deadlock tie. So they had to revote and she ended up changing her vote and they voted MJ off. And so it was just her and CT, Trishel and CT that got to split the money.
Yeah. Good show to watch. One thing that came up at the reunion. So Peppermint, was from RuPaul's Drag Race. She's a drag entertainer, maybe trans woman. I don't really know. I shouldn't say I don't care. I'm just not sure how this person identifies, but, presents as a woman. And, she was given time to express her frustration with being targeted for being different. And she thought that was because that she was part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, well, I think it was kind of, the question was formed more as like, were you disappointed to be the first one sent home?
She wasn't the first one sent home.
I thought she was the first one banished.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because the weird guy, but Johnny Bananas got murdered.
Murdered,
and
then yeah.
Was she the first one banished? I think. So she gave a very long answer about that. She was either first or second. You're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that like bothered me about that. Okay, so she's right. In shows like this, somebody who's different does not fare well. Like we saw that last season too with a guy that was like either like Russian or Eastern European. Like he was kind of neurodivergent. He would walk into a room and then like back out of it slowly, and he would just kind of act really suspicious, and people were weird about him, and he wouldn't talk to people that much, and he got voted out. You know, it's just like how it is. And it's unfortunate, but like you're in this castle trying to pick up on any little. Remember when they were choosing the traitors? Was it Trishel who said like,
I don't even remember.
There was one girl who was like, I heard Alan's arm, the fabric on his arm raise near me. So I think somebody near me is a traitor sitting at the table. I was like, that's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing. And then like they were questioning John's breathing and he lied and said he had asthma. Yeah. And that became like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, look, going back to the Peppermint thing, I got off track. So it is unfortunate that happens. But the thing is, Peppermint called herself a traitor.
Yeah.
She did it on accident, but she was out in the room with everybody around, and she's like, I'm a traitor.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm a faithful.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah.
That's why she got voted out.
I would have voted for you, too. Yeah, like, everybody
they didn't
would've.
Have that early on in the game. They didn't have a lot to go off of anyway, so...
Oh.
It was kind of like, I don't feel like she was targeted because she was different necessarily. I think she was targeted because she said she was a traitor.
Yeah, I don't know. That just like, that just kind of bothered me. But, you know, I just, it was just kind of like playing the victim thing. And it was like, I don't think that that's what happened in this case. Anyway, let's move on from that. Sorry. So the Oscars, we talked about that.
We watched the Oscars. We didn't talk about it yet, though.
Well, we mentioned it in our last episode.
Just making sure you're not feverish over there.
Yeah, no, I'm good. So we talked about that in our last episode that we would be watching it. We downloaded the Fubo app. So
do not recommend. This is not an ad for them. Do not get that app.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was our TV, because I saw on the App Store it had good ratings, but like it did not.
We've never had success with that app. Yeah. We've downloaded it and tried to use it before.
Yeah, you're right.
Not a fan.
Boo.
Yeah, them. But what are you, getting paid by Big Fubo?
No, I'm not. Over there? You know what? Screw Fubo.
They're not paying for this podcast.
It did not work. Like, you tried to, like, pause it, and it would just, the whole, I had to, like, restart the TV. Like, you try to fast forward anything. Like, it was bad.
Brutal. And
anyway, so, starts off with the red carpet.
You shouldn't have pet her. You were.
Oh, no. I thought the multicam footage on the red carpet was top notch. I think all other award shows should take note.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes that gets boring, and you can see they had like four cameras going at once.
So you could see what other people were wearing and stuff.
And then there was one interview going at a time. Some disappointments I had of
the red carpet show.
No.
Oh.
No. Do you want to talk more about the red carpet?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that it was that great of a show, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it was only 30 minutes.
When Tan did it, it was great on the Emmys or?
The SAG Awards.
The SAG Awards.
Yeah. I thought that the Netflix red carpet show was much better. But that was it about the red carpet show.
Too far away.
Sorry.
There were some performances that were really good at the Oscars. Billie Eilish did so good. It was better than the Grammys. She was standing time instead of sitting, and I thought it was awesome. The big moment was the I'm Just Ken, of course.
Yes, that is, you know, a lot of, Hoagie and I have gotten really into watching these award shows this year, and so now at the Oscars it seems like, okay, this is all feels like repeat stuff, like we've seen all these people, we've seen all these performances, but not the Ryan Gosling I Am Ken performance.
So like it was crazy that like Slash showed up, and then I found out I never knew that he actually played a part on that song like the whole time.
That's what you said,
but that was awesome that he was there, and like all the other Kens
that's
were
so weird. I knew that.
You did?
No, I didn't know that. I'm just kidding. I don't even know who Slash is. Literally, I was like, who's that? You were so excited. I'm like, don't know.
Okay. So Oppenheimer won like 7 awards and Poor Things won like 4.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, I don't know. It was good. We haven't watched Poor Things yet. We want to.
Yeah.
We're going to watch that soon. Every time Barbie was nominated, I was like, they should win.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah, honestly, they didn't win that much. Did they win anything?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, Billie Eilish won for her song in that movie.
So I was really two big upsets for me. I really thought, and a lot of people did, that Across the Spider-Verse should have won animated.
Yes.
I don't know why the pastel colored anime, the boy and his heron or whatever.
You know, I haven't seen that. Well, so I haven't either,
but like Spider-Verse, it's just like that's like
that was amazing.
And maybe because it's a sequel, like maybe sequels just don't do as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that was like incredible, and like different styles of artwork throughout, like over, like you have different styles of artwork in the same scene.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's so cool.
I mean, I don't know much about how these things are decided upon. And I know there's lots of controversy on, like, you know, who's most deserving or da 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 da. But I'm just going to be real. I really like to watch these shows to see what people are wearing.
Okay.
So I don't really know.
Well, I'll get through it real quick.
No, you're fine. I would like to hear your thoughts. I'm just letting everybody know I'm not going to have very similar thoughts.
Okay.
But I do have my favorite outfits.
My next thought was that, so Godzilla Minus One won best visuals. I heard it's good for, you know, the Monster Universe people that like that. It's not really my favorite thing, but, you know, I heard it's a great movie. That's all. That's fine. But the creator lost. And, like, not many people are saying much about it. You do see every time I see a post, there's at least one person that's like, the creator should have won.
And but, that was a made-for-Hulu movie, right?
I just don't think a lot of people saw it. And so I don't think a lot of people know, but I'm here to, I don't know. I'm go and just Google like the creator images, creator visuals, like however you would.
Yeah.
Find some still images. Look at the creator. Look at Godzilla. Watch them both. It's crazy. Like there's no comparison. I'm sorry. Like, this should have won. Anyway.
It did have really cool visuals. But again, I haven't really, honestly, I haven't seen either of them. But I did see the creator when you were watching it, like bits and pieces.
Yeah. Also, I think John Mulaney should host next year.
John Mulaney, that was so cool. Yeah, that he presented an award.
It was really good.
Bernard, so sweet. I will say some of my favorite outfits.
Okay.
I really like Melissa McCarthy's dress. It was like the pink and red, or the orange and red, orange and pink. I'll get it together. Orange and pink dress. Emma Stone, she looked really cute, although she did have a dress malfunction.
Yep. So, yeah.
That's why I like to watch these shows, is to see those little the things. Drama. Yeah, like the things that you'd only know, like if you know, you know, you know, yeah. sort of stuff. And then who else? There was somebody else. If I think of it, I'll come back to it, but I can't remember right now.
Hmm.
I really like Melissa McCarthy's though.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Emma Stone's. I think hers is cool.
Yeah, it was like that mint green. It was really, really cute. I really liked it.
Yeah. Ariana Grande looked
America
like she was...
Oh, America for...
Oh, yeah. She looked great in her Barbie dress.
Yeah, I loved
her. Yeah. I think really pink was like played out. So like there was a lot of black in this
award
show.
Yeah, that's what they were saying this year. Like everybody was doing black. But did you know that her dress, America's, was made out of chain mail? Like the
wow,
chain like
that's
that?
Cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was like made obviously specifically for her. So,
but yeah, was it Ariana Grande? She looked like she had like a blanket on.
Yeah. Trash can mode.
Yeah, trash can mode. Any book updates from you?
Okay, well, I can still read.
Great.
I still have not finished my book, Anxious People, in full transparency, but we're going on vacation next week. At the end of the week, we're going to Florida, and I just ordered my book that I'm going to be reading on vacation, and I'm very excited about it. I'm going to be reading People We Meet on Vacation.
Wow.
Is the name of it.
Is it a horror?
No. Oh my gosh. Why would you even say that? It's written by somebody who does an author who does a lot of summer style books. A lot of her other books, I can't remember her name right now off the top of my head. Anyways, a lot of her book, Emily something, I've read at the Lake House. And so, yeah, I like to read her books during the summer. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, okay. I finished my Star Wars Aftermath Life Debt book. It was pretty good. I definitely had some twists and turns in there. And I started a new one, which is also a Star Wars book, of course. And it is called From a Certain Point of View. And it is, there's three of them. It's for the, like, it was the 50th? Yeah. 40th. 40th year.
40th sounds familiar.
40th year anniversary of the films coming out. They release these books, and they're, like, retellings of the movies, but from points of view of either minor characters or characters who were extras, you know, maybe, or people who just weren't even in the scene at all, just like, you know, around the environment or whatever.
Oh, that's
but,
cool.
But it's other things going on while the movies are going on, and you know, tells more. It just kind of expands the universe, makes it a little fuller. So I'm really enjoying that, but I haven't done much reading because I've been having like stuff leak out of my eyes. So.
Wow.
Sorry. All right. Now we can get into our Marvel talk.
Yes.
Let's start with our rumors.
Okay. So Hoagie never, I'm not really good at keeping up on this stuff. So I have a feeling there's some things here that a lot of these things I'm not even going to know. So Hoagie's telling me for the first time too. So I'm reacting right here with you.
Okay.
Listeners.
I'm going to try and get through them like, you know, kind of fast, but it sounds like Andrew Garfield's going to continue to play Spider-Man, but no solo film in the future, unfortunately. So no Amazing Spider-Man 3 or any kind of solo film.
So but wait, Tom Holland isn't going to be?
No, yeah, but you know how they're like all in like the Spider-Verse now and like they're all Spider-Man?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like this?
Yeah, yeah, pointing at each other and yep. So Nicolas Cage... Ghost Rider in Deadpool 3.
Okay.
Actually, I have another. Let's see. I'm gonna tie a couple of these together as I stutter through this. So, Deadpool 3 has many, many cameos. To just keep saying there's many people traveling to London. And I even see Jennifer Garner's name on there to play Elektra.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's like 13 going on 30, 13 going on Elektra.
One of Haley's favorite superhero movies.
Well, I don't know about that, but Jennifer Garner's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
Okay. I love her. Is that the thing you've been...
I thought you liked Elektra.
I mean, I haven't seen that in forever. I know. Is that an MCU good. Thing?
No, but... The Deadpool, it's like a...
This is too confusing.
It's like a TVA, like he's cleaning up the timelines, like, you know, and all this stuff, yeah.
That's exciting.
So, Secret Wars, which will also kind of be like this, which will have, like, different timelines and stuff. So, Hugh Jackman says he'll return for Secret Wars, but only if he gets to interact with Tobey Maguire and Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
So, he's put that out there into the universe. So,
okay.
There's a possibility... I know a lot of people like to see RDJ as Iron Man again. Personally, pass the torch. I don't know. Maybe there's been enough time. You know, maybe it'd be cool. Because by that time, it'd be like, I don't know, 10 years almost, 8 years. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe
maybe
that.
Maybe it'd be cool to see him just for a little bit or something. So, the leader returning for Cap 4. Captain America 4, which is a character that was originally teased in the 2008 film. He's a guy with a big brain.
Okay.
I'm going to sneak in a Boys update, but The Boys season 4, June 13th.
My birthday!
There you go. Tom Holland appeared on the set of Daredevil Born Again. And I love that. So, Daredevil and Spider-Man is like one of my favorite team-ups. I love the, like the street-level... Marvel. That's like kind of my favorites, like real gritty and stuff. And the Galaxy stuff is cool, but eventually, I don't know, I kind of get sick of it. But so apparently, Feige's in talks with Sony about Spider-Man 4, you know, with Holland. And Feige wants to do street level, and Sony wants to do multiverse.
Okay.
So they're going back and forth trying to find compromise. So it might be a combination of both, or... You know, okay. maybe the one of the sides will concede or whatever. So,
both I think would be good.
Yeah, maybe
we'll see.
Yeah, maybe or just like do a street level movie and then at the end do a Spider-Verse thing for the end credits. I don't know. So a lot of like Disney just put out a whole bunch of like release dates and like upcoming stuff for Disney Plus.
Okay.
X-Men 97. That's March 20th, so that's X-Men the Animated Series. They're continuing that.
Okay. Did you see that? The X-Men?
I have seen that, okay. Yeah, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that created that show got fired today or yesterday.
Oh,
under
I almost said RIP, but he's not dead. I guess that's good.
I think there's a scandal there because he deleted all his social media and stuff. So.
Oh.
Yeah, got fired on his day off, so it's probably like a morality thing. Another one is Agatha Darkhold Diaries this fall. So they've renamed that one twice now.
Yes.
So I think this name, changing the name to Darkhold Diaries, actually gets me more excited than any of the other ones that they teased. Because about the Darkhold and the history of the Darkhold, I find that kind of like intriguing. So
yeah, I think that'll be good. I'm very excited to see her on the screen again.
Something called Eyes of Wakanda 2024. So this is like a prehistory of the MCU. It's a Wakanda history, like an anthology of adventures where they're trying to collect artifacts from around the world. This happens like before the MCU. It's going to be animated.
Oh.
And I think it's part of the MCU. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man comes out in 2024, which was originally supposed to be called Spider-Man Freshman Year.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Which is the part two of the... Is that the part two of the one that we just saw in theaters? Not just in theaters,
No, it's just like... It's an animated...
Yeah, that's what animated...
Part two of what?
What we saw where it's at the end, they're in the different universe, and he's the black... Or he's the purple prowler...
No, you're thinking of So I'm Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse, and I think it'll be called Beyond the Spider-Verse, the third one.
Okay.
That's something else.
Okay.
Sony's making that.
Okay.
So.
Dang, I can't keep it all straight. Good thing I have you, Hoagie.
Well, that is the end of our rumors.
The end of the show. Bye. Bye. Just kidding. We didn't even talk about X-Men.
Yeah. We didn't even say that at the beginning of the episode, what we're going to talk about. But, I mean, the title of the episode says it, so.
Yeah, we did. We said X-Men 24 years ago. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Hoagie's sick. It's okay, guys. Please forgive him.
Sorry. Okay, so set the mood. Our food for that evening.
Oh, I made a good dinner. It was a nice dinner, I think I made. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it was nice.
Yeah, what was it?
I don't remember. I took a picture of it, though. I posted it on my Instagram. So if you follow us at Marvelously Maisel, then you should remember what it was.
What's our Instagram?
Oh. Marvelously Married.
Well, I'll try to help you out. There were green beans.
Okay. Is this a pop quiz?
There was a mushroom risotto.
I thought you remembered. Oh, and then the chicken thighs.
Baked chicken thighs.
Yeah, the baked chicken thighs. So the mushroom risotto I got from Aldi, and it was like a pack. But of course, you know, I have to season it.
Oh,
up.
You did make it.
Basically. Yeah. It was just like rice, and then it came with some seasoning, and then I added my own mushrooms, onions, stuff like that. It was really good.
And cautionary tale. It takes a long time to cook.
Yeah. We had a delayed start to the movie because of it.
But it's okay, because it's a short movie, 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Bring back the hour and a half movie, sub two-hour movie, please.
So for dessert, we had...
I was so excited about this. Hoagie didn't know. I said, I got a special sweet treat. And I got us Ben and Jerry's.
Yes, we each had our own little carton.
Yeah, because they were buy one, get one free this week through our M Perks. Shout out Meyer.
Mine was a little sugar-free one.
It was not sugar-free. Dairy-free.
Okay, dairy-free.
Yeah. Acting like I skimped on you.
I'm glad it had sugar.
That would have been terrible.
I knew something was missing, but...
Yeah, well, the spicy dairy gets to Hoagie a little bit, so...
Yeah. Okay, so X-Men.
Oh, but what flavor of Ben & Jerry's did you have? Do you remember?
We never figured that out. It was just like a mixture. It was like a charcuterie board of ice cream.
The Tonight Dough.
It was not like that.
Yeah, it was by Jimmy Fallon. It was called the Tonight Dough. Like the Tonight Show?
That's what the ice cream was called?
Yes.
Don't talk to me. Talk to that.
And it was like different, like brownie dough, cookie dough, stuff like that.
Yeah, it was good.
But remember, I thought it was called Americone Dream.
Yeah, you kept saying that. And you're like, "There's what do you mean?" She's like, "There's no cone in it. There's no bits of ice cream cone." I'm like, no.
And I said, "That's so weird because it's called Americone Dream," and you were like, "I know," and it was never called that. And I had Cherry Garcia. So that's our ice cream.
Okay, so X-Men 2000. So here's a little bit of like history, right?
Yeah.
Marvel back in the 90s, pretty much going bankrupt. Things are not going well for Marvel. So the last time they had tried to make a movie was for theaters. There was a lot of like release to video or direct to TV movies. We don't need to talk about those. We got to decide at some point if we're ever going to feature those on the podcast or if we're only going to do movies that went to theaters. That'll be a rule we can figure out at some point. But the last time they had a movie that goes to theaters is Howard the Duck, which I don't know why you would make that movie.
Oh, no.
It was an awful movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do well. And comics aren't doing well in the 90s. I mean, this is when you had... I mean, I don't know why they're not doing well. Thunderstrike. Remember Thunderstrike?
Yeah.
The Thor variant?
Yeah.
So, you know, and things like Cable. Cable was cool. But, you know, so things are going bad. They're facing bankruptcy. They start selling off movie rights to different studios, like all over the place. So... I can't even remember who makes Blade, but Blade gets made, 1998. Wesley Snipes, amazing, perfect cinema.
I'm rolling my eyes.
100% rating. If I could give it more, I would.
Yeah, Hoagie's a big Blade fan.
I love Blade. So Blade comes out, and it's often credited as what saved Marvel. And while that may be true, I think X-Men should get some credit for that too. If we have like a 1-2 punch, right?
Critical. X-Men was critical.
X-Men was pretty critical. X-Men is way more mainstream than Blade. X-Men is like A-list. Blade is like C-list, you know? And, you know, X-Men with the uniforms, they modernized the uniforms or made them, you know, that. And that kind of set the, that kind of set the standard for the MCU. Like when the MCU started, we had like those costumes that kind of didn't really look like the comic books. They looked more realistic, I guess you could say, or whatever. And, you know, anyway, this movie's really important.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say, you know, for Marvel.
And yeah. Well, and the story and like what it represents too, I think is really powerful. Like for, you know, like, cause isn't it, that's like a lot of like the civil rights type stuff is like depicted in the X-Men.
It has been used as like allegory. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Like an allegory for civil rights. And like people compare, you know, Professor X to Martin Luther King, and they'll compare Magneto to Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, yeah.
And, you know, it has been used in that way. And it's been used also for, like, more recently for, like, LGBTQ, you know, pride.
Oh, okay.
I'm not complaining, but, like, it's faster to say pride than LGBTQ. Are we allowed to just say pride?
I have no idea.
I'll, like, look that up. But, you know, that's been a thing for mutants. And even in one of the movies, I think it was Iceman was trying to, like, come out to his parents as a mutant. And it really paralleled, like a gay son coming out to their parents. And I think that was in X2.
Yeah.
Might have been. Which was even better than this movie, if you can believe it.
Yeah, that one, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. Yeah, so what were your thoughts on this movie?
It's really good. I really liked it. But I think it's interesting. There was a quote that I saw this week that we watched the movie that I felt like really kind of got the point across of something, a point in the movie that I thought was important. Let's see here. Understanding like Magneto's concerns and like his frustrations with his like coming from where he's come from and seeing his point of view on like the things that he saw and the things that he's experienced. That the quote is by Justin McRoberts. I did share it on my Instagram feed this week too, but it's, even in conflict, may I see people as beloved instead of problematic. Obviously Magneto is very problematic in this, but it's like, there are things that like, he has his own story and his own things that have brought him to this point. That is really gut wrenching. It's sad and it's, you know, sucks, you know? Yeah. So I just thought that was like a powerful point of like the,
yeah,
I mean, something we can bring into everyday like life.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep talking to that mic. It sounds better that way. So, one of the things, and this is in a later movie, I can't remember which one, probably X2. Cause I think all the good stuff happens in X2. Might not have been though, but Magneto's like recruiting mutants, and there's this other mutant faction that they like tattoo their faces and stuff like that to mark themselves as mutants, to be mm-hmm. proud. To be proud of being mutants. And they're like, well, if you're a mutant and you're proud of it, then like, where's your tattoo? And he shows his mark from the concentration camp, and he's like, no needle will ever touch my body again, you know, or uh-huh. you know, whatever, like that. And yeah, like this character has, and it starts out, X-Men starts out with like when he bends those gates.
Yeah.
And that scene's recreated in another movie. There's so many X-Men, and they change timelines in X-Men. Ooh, I can't wait to get into some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm interested to see if when they reboot the MCU, because in case you don't know that, after Secret Wars, the plan is the MCU is going to be rebooted. There's going to mm-hmm. be new actors and everything.
Yeah.
So when they reboot the MCU and they bring in the X-Men into the main timeline and everything, will they still be tied to, like, will Magneto's story, will he still be Jewish?
Yeah.
Because what if you got to move his story up a little bit? So maybe now he's part of the civil rights movement, or maybe he's queer.
Yeah.
You know, and something like that. Maybe he's queer in like the 80s or something. And that's another one. There was the AIDS epidemic. There was a whole X-Men comic line where there was like a mutant, an anti-mutant virus that the government put out to like make target at mutants and make them go extinct. And it was this whole thing. And it was a parallel to the real life.
That's from the comic books.
Yeah. So there's interesting. They use the X-Men in a lot of ways to just tell minority stories and things
mirror
like that. People that are oppressed and yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if backstories will change for the modern era.
Yeah.
I'd be open to that idea. It is dangerous sometimes if you take a character that's been rooted in, like, you know, this character has been Jewish and then you make him not Jewish, like, you know, so that might be
difficult. It's a big part of the story, but I think, like you're saying, there's a lot of different ways that they could,
because if you make him Magneto come through the concentration camps as a young child, I don't know if he'd really be alive today when they reboot the MCU. So I think you have to maybe change a story.
Right.
Or reset the timeline.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Lots of options.
Yeah, there you go. The options are all options. So Hugh Jackman's 32 in this movie.
I couldn't believe that. He's 35.
He's been playing this character for 23 years. And not just like playing this character for 23 years, right? He's made 10 movies during that time. Which includes, like, if I'm including...
Which includes The Greatest Showman. Just kidding. Yeah.
Yes. Which is canon to the MCU. Nightcrawler was in Greatest Showman, if you didn't see him.
Oh, God.
But 10 movies, including... If you include Deadpool 3, that's 10 movies. That's a movie every 2 or 3 years playing this character. That means it's almost in constant production. Like, he hasn't really had time to do much else. And he's been, like, really committed to it. And he's been a perfect casting, and I love him.
Yeah, I think
he could be
great.
A little bit shorter, but...
I mean, if we're picking things.
If we're going to pick it apart.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe how young he was. I was like, oh, my gosh, he looks like a baby. I mean, like we said, that was 24 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I forgot Sabretooth was in this film, and when he jumped out of the woods, like, I was like, yeah, that was so exciting.
Sabretooth, you can also catch his character in the show, the movie Cats, the Broadway. Literally, it looks like he had just done his,
just got done out of hair
premiere.
Makeup.
Yeah. From Cats, and just came right onto this, like they dual cast him or whatever.
Yeah.
So nasty.
Keep going. That's good. I don't have any more notes, actually.
Oh, that's it? Really? Yeah, oh, yeah. I have lots of notes about like Halle Berry. I'm like, man, haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, what's she up to? Is she doing movies still?
I don't know.
She hasn't put an album out or nothing.
Is she a singer?
She could be.
She could be. Who knows?
Hire a vocal coach.
She could be many talents.
So one thing about this movie, I really love the mood. I wish the MCU had more variety in this sense. Like it's serious. Like there were a few, like there's kind of some drier jokes, you know, but it's very serious. The stakes seem really high. Like it seems like,
well, they are if you're in the movie.
Yeah. They're going to take out all them politicians.
Yeah. Yeah. It was some pretty serious stuff going on.
But you know, the MCU, they did try to do like a darker movie with Thor Dark World, sort of. But they also, it didn't really work for them. But, you know, maybe hire some of these people, these writers. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, whoever they were 24 years ago, maybe they're still doing that.
We should have credited them, you know.
I forgot that Jennifer Lawrence did not play Mystique in this in this movie.
She plays her later.
Rebecca Ramen? Is that how you pronounce her last name? I don't remember.
Luckily, they both have blue skin, so like you can't really tell.
Oh, you're so funny.
Thanks.
Jennifer Lawrence, her notorious blue skin.
So this movie made it so easy to hate Cyclops. And I love that because I really hate Cyclops as a character.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody wants to talk about that, like, I would love to. But this is a dude who, like, you know, is obsessed with Jean Grey and, like, really territorial. Or, yeah. Is that what you call it?
Just like a jealous boyfriend.
Very jealous of her.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a good look.
Obsesses over her. She dies. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
But she was cloned. So then he goes and he marries Madeline Pryor, her clone. Has a kid with the clone, right?
Uh-huh.
Then, because superheroes don't stay dead, Jean Grey comes back. And he just up and leaves the kid and Madeline Pryor and goes back to Jean Grey.
Wow, this is some Jerry Springer stuff right here.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah.
Plus, he's always acting like a cop all the time. And, like, he doesn't like Wolverine. He does have that Everybody energy. Likes Wolverine.
Yeah. Wolverine's just trying to help.
Wolverine's so cool.
Yeah.
You jealous because you're not cool?
Yeah, that's exactly what it
red
is.
Red sunglasses are dumb. Just yeah. kidding. If you wear red sunglasses, I'm sorry.
If that's your thing.
If that's your thing, I love it.
Just not when he does it.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Well, I thought you'd have more. I have lots of just random little things. I felt like, what's her name? Rogue.
Yeah.
I felt like every time she was going someplace, she should be going to Hogwarts because of her giant hood. I was like, is this Harry Potter?
I'm packing up my bags.
And also,
she's like, goes from Xavier's School of Mutants. Yeah, so like,
to Hogwarts.
I'm going to Hogwarts instead.
It's a crossover
instead.
Film.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say, like, the main point of the movie, it was very powerful, had a very powerful message. Obviously, we've talked a lot about. But I will also say another very powerful message that we need to take away from this film is to wear your seatbelts.
Yes. Well, the first scene of the movie.
Well, not the first scene, but... One of the early scenes, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. When him and Rogue are in
the
truck.
Yeah, in the truck. Yeah. And he just goes straight through the windshield.
And they, like, have a conversation about the seatbelt. She's like, shouldn't you put the seatbelt on? And he's like, boom.
I'm fine. Boom.
So I love the Brotherhood of Mutants. Like, I don't think... Or sometimes they're called the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. I don't think they're called that in this film. And I don't think they call them... They don't call themselves that. Like, I don't think anybody actually calls themselves evil. Maybe they do in the comics. Maybe they did in the early days.
Kind of like Devil's, the motorcycle gang. You know, they have like a name that's like...
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't want to call yourself that.
But
anyways.
Well, yes. Okay. All right. Well, I just love that there's a whole team of villains. Like, you know, there's always like a whole team of Avengers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good
point. It's cool to have a variety. And
of
like,
bad guys.
You know, they're like fighting, you know, and you always like kind of forget about them. He's like, oh, they're fighting Sabretooth. And then like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Mystique. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, there's Toad. And like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Magneto.
Well, and Mystique is just so tricky. Tricky, yeah. Tricky. So Mystique. So mysterious.
I need to get you earphones so you could hear what it sounds like when you go like this.
When you move your head. I'm not doing it that much.
It's okay.
Hoagie's being so rude today.
No.
I'm just kidding. anyways, like when I thought, I literally got
what?
When, what's his name, killed Storm. And it wasn't Storm. It was...
Oh, yeah.
I was so sad. I was like... Logan. It was Logan who killed him.
They would never.
Yeah. I know. But I did get... I got caught. So I was like, right. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Because he could smell.
Because it was... Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I didn't catch on to that at first, though. And I was very concerned.
Remember, my favorite... Like, I think my favorite line from the whole movie was when they're putting on the uniforms or whatever. And Wolverine's like... You actually go outside in these, and Cyclops goes, well, would you prefer yellow spandex?
Yeah. I wrote that down, too.
Did you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I also really liked the fight scene on the Statue of Liberty. Like, in having the Statue of Liberty be, like, a part of, like, that whole... I mean, there was a lot of different aspects about the Statue of Liberty itself being used as, like,
A weapon,
that was really interesting to me. I love like a cinematic monumental fight scene like that, I guess.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
I wish we had like 30 seconds of like just the X-Jet Like, I love the X-Jet. The X-Jet is, like, greater than the Quinjet, the Avengers Quinjet. It's
Wait,
so
what are
cool.
you? What's that, the X-Jet?
The X-Men, their jet, the X-Jet.
Oh, they're...
When they, like, fly into the Statue of Liberty? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, and they went, like, incognito.
And I'm glad the movie, they didn't just put it in, like, one of the Blackbirds or whatever they're called. Like, they didn't just put it in, like, a different plane. They actually made, well, like, the computer made it or whatever. All right, so they're in the Statue of Liberty. Another thing about that fight, that was the first time in the movie, surprisingly, that was the first time in the movie I noticed when Wolverine says bub.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think though, when you're watching X-Men, if you want to, optional drinking game, like whatever, Wolverine says bub.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting at the end, Jean says something, I don't remember exactly who it's to, but she talks about how, cause like Rogue is somebody that when she touches another person, she, I don't know, like basically is harms them. What's exactly happening? What's the best way to describe that?
So like, she siphons off their
energy,
basically their life force and their powers if they're a mutant.
Okay. So she made a comment about her taking on, she took on a few of your personality traits for a while, but we survived.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So is that something that like happens then? I don't know. I was confused about that.
I don't know. Like I don't remember that particularly being a thing. But perhaps so like the X-Men content I know the most, well, at this point, the X-Men content I know the most is the Fox movies, like that we're talking about now. But like from the cartoons, like Rogue just kind of is always the same because it's always the same. Like it's the voice actress. She's got her accent and everything. Uh-huh. And like, so I don't ever remember that being like changing her personality. But
yeah.
It could be. I don't know. I thought it was a funny line. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting little twist. So, Xavier. Wait. All right, actually, you know, go ahead. Like, do you have more notes? Here's what I have left. And setting up the second movie, Magneto and Charles. That's all I have left to talk about.
Yeah. I wrote down that Cerebro is basically just like Alexa.
I love that. Yeah. It's like big dome Alexa.
Yeah. Like somewhere that's what Alexa looks like.
Yeah.
And we're just all have one in our kitchens.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. There's like a super Alexa and it's like find all the people. And
yeah.
Then, oh, no.
That's basically what we're dealing with. So.
Yeah.
Hashtag AI.
Yeah. Well, I going back to the second movie thing. I love that when Wolverine's leaving at the end, they set up like the Alkali Lake thing. They were so confident in this movie, even though so early on for Marvel movies and everything, mm-hmm. that they were like, man, we're already writing the second movie.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought. And I guess, I don't know, like most movies do that, set up the sequel and they can always cancel the sequel or whatever.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know. It just.
Hashtag Spider-Man.
It just really got you like, yeah, do it.
Yeah. Well, and it was a really good, I mean, all the X-Men stuff was really good content that they put out. So that was
exciting.
What
do you mean Spider-Man?
About how, because of the writer's strike, the one after No Way Home was canceled indefinitely or whatever.
I don't remember
that. Part two. We just talked about it on the podcast, how he's the purple.
Oh, it wasn't canceled. It's coming out, so.
I know, but they did put out a statement saying that it was canceled indefinitely, but then they.
Oh.
Never mind.
I'll have to look into it.
You were
sorry, I don't remember. So Magneto is like my favorite villain, but I think he's more of an anti-villain. You know?
Is that the same as an anti-hero?
So I would describe it. So I would say it'd be like the opposite of an anti-hero.
Okay.
But like so an anti-hero would be like a reluctant hero or like,
they don't care about anybody else necessarily. They're not doing it because they want to be heroic.
An anti-hero is just like the conditions are right, or they've been like kind of forced into playing the role of the hero, even though they don't like have the traits. They wouldn't choose this on their own.
Mm-hmm.
The anti-villain is like would be otherwise a good person, but has been put into bad circumstances and has chosen to like, in this case, like stick up for himself.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, like he genuinely does think he's doing what he thinks is best. I mean, he's seeing a lot of injustice done
right
to the mutants.
He's doing what I mean. Yeah. And he's had like a harder life than Professor Xavier and everything. And, you know, it seems like he has legitimate, believable, understandable reasons for the motivations he has.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things is like through all this, like him and Charles always remain like friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they like play chess at the end or whatever.
Yeah.
And they do share that like common bond. Like they're both going to always strive for equality. And I don't know. X-Men is just like such a good idea, such a good series. Even if the continuity is like all over the place and it's really impossible to keep track of, especially if you read the comics. But like Charles, one thing about Charles is although he's a good guy, I've always found that his, like, to me, his powers are like really problematic, like reading minds and controlling people.
Yeah. Not a good look.
And they do address it in like another movie. Like, I think somebody says, I can't remember which movie it was, but somebody says, did you just read my mind without my permission or something like that? And, I don't know. It's just, it's also though, something that makes the character kind of great. Cause it's really complex. Like him having to decide when it's okay and when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Which, and like, trusting his morality on that or whatever.
Right. And it makes it really complex. And, you know, is he's always doing his best. Like when he takes over Sabretooth to stop Magneto, for instance.
Right.
You know, but a lot of times he just like somebody walks into the room and like he just knows everything about him. So.
Right.
It's kind of like creepy in that way. So.
Like, and I wonder how much control he, like if he has to show more restraint to not read. Like to
I don't know.
Just instantly, like that's kind of how I always looked at it, I guess. Like he has to fight the urge to. My mouth is literally touching this gosh darn dang microphone.
Yeah, but it's sideways, so like the microphone's not facing you. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what were you saying?
I'm doing my best.
You were doing great.
Oh, thanks.
What were you saying?
I just feel like I've always looked at it more as like he has to show restraint to not read. Like it's almost probably more difficult for him not to just like read what's in your mind. You know, like that would be an easier way to communicate. Like if I could just, instead of like using our words, if I could just be like, boop, I know what you're thinking. Like,
it could be. I don't know. I would say that I should read more X-Men comics, but I know I'm not going to, so.
Well, we have lots of comic books in our basement. If anybody's looking for comic books.
We do. Yeah, if anybody just wants comic books, just like give me a shipping address and offer to pay the shipping, and I will send them to you. More than you want.
Here's our junk.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the movie before we rate it?
Oh, an official rating.
Yeah, very official.
This part always scares me. No, no other thoughts.
Okay. Well, what are your, well, I guess, well, then your final thoughts and your rating.
Yeah. Final thoughts is 2 thumbs up, which is not my rating. That sounds a little bit like a rating, but that's not. What are we, what's our scale?
I usually do out of five stars, but if that makes you uncomfortable, you could do it out of 8
or 7.
No,
that's what I was thinking, 5 stars. I'd give it a 4.
Okay. Me too. Me too.
Cute.
I don't think there's anything really earth-shattering, but it's totally awesome and much recommended and definitely a must for all Marvel fans.
Yes. And I think that looking back, especially watching it in 2024, I mean, cinematically and stuff and tips and little tricks and little fun things movie-wise, I feel like it didn't seem too like the whole Statue of Liberty stuff. It wasn't like, oh, you can definitely tell this was made in 2000. Like,
yeah.
It honestly didn't seem that terribly outdated feeling.
Yeah, the biggest thing was the like the characters jumping, like especially like Mystique, Wolverine, Sabretooth, Toad. Mm-hmm. Like, or
oh, that Toad guy, gross.
Or characters, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Or characters being thrown, like the when they're on cables, you know, and the stunt cables. It was like,
Hoagie, we can't see those cables. We don't know they're there.
You're right. You're right. I'll just leave it.
What cables?
There, I have no criticisms of any stunt work in the movie.
That's so funny.
Okay, Haley has a new way that she wants to she wants to close the podcast.
Yeah,
One last segment.
I just want to know like a highlight of the week. It's been Hoagie hasn't been feeling very well this week, so it's been kind of a bummer. But maybe we can just think of a highlight to, I don't know, it's just joy, something that brought you joy. Because I like to talk about things like that.
Okay, and what was your highlight?
My highlight is these new socks I got.
Oh, because Bernard ate all your socks?
Yes, yeah, so I didn't have very many short socks, but these are very good socks. I can't pronounce the brand. Avia, A-V-I-A. They're like little tennis socks, but they're like a bright color purple, and the pack is a very colorful pack. And I put them on today for the first time and wore them to work, and they are just so comfortable and breathable. So they made my work experience much more joy-filled today.
That's very nice.
So, yeah. What about you?
Okay. So, highlight of last maybe couple weeks, I guess, last 10 days.
Oh, wow. Is yours going to be something like really meaningful and mine was my socks?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
I mean, meaningful to me.
Okay, good.
But, okay, since like beginning of March, I've been, okay, so one thing, I like Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
although this is not a Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
No. But I don't know how to DM, and you know, usually that's like missing when you get like some friends together want to play. Like, you usually have to find somebody to DM, and like that's a whole nother like knowledge base and, you know, skill and art and all this stuff. And so, but I've always felt like, oh, I don't know, I'd like to do that. I think I'd enjoy doing that, but I don't feel like I'm the creative. I don't feel like I'm the right person to do that. But I found these videos, Matt Koval on YouTube, Matthew Koval, and he has like a Reddit thing and I don't know, Discord or some other stuff. But anyway, he has a lot of videos, but he has this playlist called Running the Game. And there's 112 videos and I'm on video like 70 or 80 at this point. And some of them are 6 minutes and some of them are 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been sick, I've been watching them sometimes in the background and sometimes taking notes intently.
Yeah.
And depending on the topic. And I've been feeling more encouraged about that.
Yeah.
And last night and over today, I just started outlining a campaign.
Yay.
And I think it's a pretty good story.
You know, you just said that you don't feel like you're the most like creative or the right person to do something like that. I think that could not be the more opposite.
But I just it would be, I'm not like a fiction writer. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I
wouldn't
write
a novel.
But you're a creative person. I think of you as a creative person. So I'm glad that you're touching into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that is the end of our podcast.
Yes. I'm going to go make some orange chicken now. Trader Joe's orange chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I just dropped that on Hoagie.
Oh, my gosh. Ciao, tutti.